Morning, everyone. Do hope you're keeping safe and well. But just let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you love us. We thank you because we are special to you. And we ask that during this very difficult time, you'll continue to speak to us and help us to face each coming challenge. And bless us this morning as we listen to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled this talk, God's People Gathered, and I trust that will become quite clear as we continue through it. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at church. Interestingly, the word church comes from an old English-German word pronounced Kirche, and in Scotland it was, of course, Kirk. Kyriakon is the nearest Greek equivalent, but that's an adjective that means belonging to the Lord, and it only occurs twice in Scripture. Once in the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11:20, and once as the Lord's Day, Revelation 1:10, but it never refers to church. However, the word that was translated church was in fact ecclesia, and it occurs 115 times in the New Testament. That's the Authorised Version. Originally, it had no religious meaning at all, and was simply a group of people called together to meet for a particular purpose. In Acts 19, it was used of a civil gathering of the citizens of Ephesus summoned to decide an issue relevant to them. So clearly, in using this word to describe the gathering together of Christians, the writers of the New Testament were appropriating or taking for themselves a word that had a specific meaning for them. Ecclesia literally means the called out ones, those who were special. And in the case of Acts 19, they were the citizens. That great reformer and man of God, William Tyndale, in his Bible, translated the word ecclesia as congregation. In fact, he never used the word church in his translation. And you have to remember that 75 to 80% of the King James Version is directly derived from Tyndale's version. But of course, this got him into a lot of trouble. He was ordered to use the word church. Now, whereas a godly and faithful rendition was congregation or gathering, or as in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word kohal, it was assembly. And he had to escape to the continent and was eventually murdered by the church for daring to remain faithful to a correct description of the collective word for the people of God. The powers that be wanted to enforce the religious and state institution of the church with a capital C, as opposed to the group of believers characterized in the New Testament who met in homes. Now, interestingly, in the early part of the last century, the growing Pentecostal movement, the burgeoning Pentecostal church, was called Assemblies of God, and their groups of believers all belonged to the local assembly. They rejected the word church to describe their groups of believers. Indeed, to translate ecclesia as church was a deliberate mistranslation. The writers of the New Testament chose ecclesia as the word for this new thing because of its everyday meeting. Assembling, gathering was a good fit for their purposes. In every New Testament usage, ecclesia never means something unrelated to a gathering. And to them, the most important gathering in the New Testament is the gathering of all Christians around Jesus in heaven. Broughton Knox, ex-principal of Moore Theological College, Sydney, says in the essay Church and Denominations, since Christ is now in heaven, it is there that the New Testament thinks of him as building his church, because the church of Christ is the assembly which he calls into being around himself. This supernatural church or assembly around Christ is a present, not merely a future reality, and we are to think of ourselves as already members of it, assembled with him in heaven. And he suggests we think about maybe a TV show where the character turns to the camera and speaks directly to the audience. It's as if the character is simultaneously in two worlds, the world of the actual show and the world of the audience. Christians, he says, similarly, should turn to the camera whenever we remind ourselves that we belong to Jesus' heavenly assembly. And here on earth, we are its ambassadors. So why is Ecclesia is so important? When Elizabeth was talking about church 2 weeks ago, using Peter's first letter, she suggested we read through 1 Peter for ourselves. I did and was immediately struck by the opening verses. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the New Living Version. NIV puts it this way: Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles, scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Peter's letter was a circular letter delivered to the churches in the Western Roman Empire, probably in the order in which we had them listed there. And Peter is right at the outset revealing the key elements of the church. It consists of, and you will have noticed this from the reading, number one, God's chosen people, his elect. Two, they are foreigners and exiles. Three, they've been made holy or sanctified through the work of the Holy Spirit. Four, they're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And five, they are then obedient to Christ. So those who gather to form what we call church today are the ransomed, born-again believers who are living as aliens, since they are citizens of heaven, and are called out of this world, having responded to the saving grace of God, and have been set apart by the work of the Holy Spirit to live holy lives in obedience to Jesus. Again, Elizabeth talked about this 2 weeks ago. We sometimes forget that in the beginning of his ministry, Jesus was calling on people to repent and live holy lives. Matthew 4:17. So then, the local church is a physical gathering of God's people who have been saved through repentance and faith in Jesus and want to become like him through obedience to him. You know, the scriptures begin and end with God and his people together, first in Eden and ultimately in glory. At each step, God gathered his people together to speak to them, to hear from them, and to change them to be more like him. So you may say, what does Ecclesia mean for us today? Well, I think it means this. Firstly, we need to realise, to remember and to rejoice in the fact that we are the blood-bought people saved by God's grace and mercy. This gives us identity, confidence, assurance and a certain hope. We are his. We belong to him. Secondly, we are, as the King James puts it, a peculiar people. Now, that doesn't mean we're odd, though some of us are, I am sure. But you are the chosen people, says 1 Peter 2:9, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Again, Elizabeth highlighted this verse. This gives us a desire to worship and praise our God. And remember, worship is far more than singing. Worship means expressing our heartfelt love to our gracious God, our awe and wonder at his love and holiness, through our prayers, through our readings, through preaching and teaching and gifting. Thirdly, it means we behave differently. Christ will build his church, and in Ephesians 4, speaking of the Holy Spirit's gifts, Paul makes totally clear how those gifted are to behave. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. This has been simply expressed as believing, belonging, and behaving. Yes, Jesus builds his church, and that church needs to be the ecclesia. One commentator put it like this: church speaks of a place where people gather, and it influences their identity. Ecclesia speaks of a people who gather in a place to influence it out of their identity. So how are we to influence the place where God has put us? God has saved his people through Christ Jesus. We gather to praise him and celebrate that message. Together we worship him, and together we devote ourselves to the teaching and preaching of his word, so that we may become fully mature and united in our faith. Then we become the message to our community. Jesus said, "I will build my ecclesia." That's the place where God's people gather and grow, so that their lives individually and corporately will shine in a world of darkness. A place where faith and focus are sharpened. A place where we learn to become fully mature and worthy of our calling. Amen.